This week we are going to read basically from three passages. We have covered some of it already. But Isaiah chapter 7, and the sign given to King Ahaz in verse 10, and we will be reading this morning from the LSB. Then Yahweh spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from Yahweh your God. Make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not test Yahweh." And then he said, "Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And Matthew, the disciple of Christ, writing his gospel in chapter 1, in verse 21, "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place in order that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. And we continue reading in chapter 2. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he was inquiring of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophets: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a leader who will shepherd my people.' And then Herod secretly called the Magi and carefully determined from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' And now after hearing the king, they went their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east was going on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi departed for their own country by another way. And now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' And so Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and departed for Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod, in order that what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled, saying, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.' And in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. "And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it happened that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary was treasuring all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as was told them. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The birth of Christ was prophesied centuries before he was actually born in Bethlehem. And the prophet told King Ahaz that there will be a child born of the virgin. And the Hebrew word there can mean either young maid or a virgin. It can mean either. And people often point to this and say, "Told you that it was not a virgin." A virgin birth is impossible. It goes against nature. The Hebrews didn't say that it was actually a virgin. But let me tell you, when someone would bring this argument to you, the Hebrews who translated the Hebrew language found in Isaiah chapter 7 into Greek. And as it reads in the Septuagint, they say that it is a virgin. Parthenos. They understood that this child who was to be born would have a miraculous birth. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew, writing his gospel, he uses the same description as found in the Septuagint when he says, "There shall be a sign to you, and the virgin shall conceive." He says that this child who was to be born would be born of a virgin, one who had never known man. This, in and of itself, is a miracle. I agree with the atheists and the skeptics. I have never known anyone save Jesus Christ who has been born by other than procreative means. Now, we in modern times do have ways to manipulate those means. We have IVF and other scientific ways to aid and assist and further procreation. But at this time in history, there were none of those things. There was no hoodoo or voodoo that any man could do to bring about the birth of a child other than what normally transpires between a man and a woman. But this was a sign given by Yahweh himself, given to his people, that there would be a child born and the child would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Emmanuel, God condescended to take on human flesh. The eternal Son of God, who was there in the beginning, who was with God. He was face to face with the Father, and who was God, humbled Himself. And regardless of what anyone says, anywhere in church history, it was the Son who humbled Himself and was sent by the Father. The Father did not humble Himself, though He was involved in the humbling of the Son. The Spirit did not come to us and take on flesh, though everything about our salvation is Trinitarian in nature. It was only the second person of the Trinity who humbled Himself and inhabited the womb of Mary, His mother. And this little child, who was conceived as a miracle, grew in the womb in a way that we all do and have. He was not teleported out, transported out. He did not fall out of His mother's womb by any miracle. He was born as all children are born. And He was born in humble circumstances. And His birth was known. The Magi, who are the wise men from the east, are most likely the Chaldeans. Their history, not these individuals, but their rank, their order, very well could stretch back into the times of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Daniel himself was probably a Magi. He was a wise man in the court of the king of Babylon. And God, under His divine providence and the orchestration and the care of human history, through the punishment of His people Israel, had them deported and scattered among the peoples of Babylon and later Persia. And they carried their writings with them. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were witnesses to Yahweh. And among the many others that went there, they witnessed to the God of Israel. And in carrying these writings and by word of mouth, prophecies were scattered. And Yahweh was told. And these wise men, though we are not giving many details about them, they knew that there was to be a king born. And that at this time in history, there were many people looking for this king to be born. Paul tells us in Galatians that Christ was born in the fullness of time. There was an expectation that the Messiah would come in the first century and the time leading up to it. People were looking for the Redeemer of Israel. And the Magi followed this star, and whatever this star may or may not have been, it was miraculous. Some have posited that it may be a comet or an asteroid. I don't care. It was miraculous. If it was a comet, it followed exactly the path that God wanted it to take to lead the wise men there, and then it stopped where he wanted them to stop. So if it was a comet, God's hand was upon the comet, and he grabbed it by the tail and he stopped the comet where he wanted it to stop, and it led the wise men to Bethlehem. Now there are many people, as I said, who were looking for the Messiah. We have accounts of three different classes of people here today. We have the Magi, which we have already discussed, and though they may have been pagans and likely were pagans, they were looking for the King who was to come. And I would not be afraid to stand here before you today and say that God in his mercy and by a gracious act allowed these men to see the King. And they worshiped him and honored him. And no one honors the Son except by the Spirit. And though they may have done it in a way that was not prescribed by God, they came to him and they bowed down and they worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they paid him homage. We have the rich who came and knelt before a poor infant born in a manger. They would have been wealthy. They went on a great journey. And contrary to what we often see in our nativity scenes and we sing about, we don't know if there were three wise men or not. They brought three different gifts. And that's all we know. There could have been 10, 12, or 100 of them. But they came to Bethlehem, a small city in Palestine. And they made a great journey. And they brought wealth with them. And they gave it to the King. We have Herod the Great. And though Herod did many great things from a secular standpoint, he commissioned and began the rebuilding of the temple. The temple that Jesus would have worshipped in. That he cleansed when he was an adult. That he stood in the outer gates and outer courts and preach to the people, where he would have healed the lame and the blind. But Herod was not a great man. He was selfish and he was crazy and he was jealous. And he heard that when these Magi came and they inquired of him, he says, "Where is this child who is to be king born?" Herod, who was a client ruler under Rome, being jealous and anxious about his place in the world, went and sought the priest and those learned among the Jews and said, "Where is this child to be born?" And they said, "It's in the prophets. He's to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And out of Bethlehem, the ruler is to come." And Herod, feigning piety and righteousness, told the wise men, "Go and find this child, and when you find him, come back to me that I may worship him also." Herod had no intention to worship Christ. The world today, and from the time of Christ onward until today, will often feign worship. They will give lip service to Christ. They will say that He is a great moral teacher. Many will say that He was a good man. There are others who will say He was a revolutionary and a political protagonist that was seeking to lead His people into freedom. And by the way, He was leading His people into freedom, but it was not political freedom, but spiritual freedom. Freeing us from the bonds of sin and death. But these people say, go and find the Christ and tell us about Him, that we may do with Him as we will. Mahatma Gandhi, the 20th century Indian freedom fighter who fought through peace, is often quoted as saying, I have no problem with your Christ. It is Christians that I have the problem with. And while that sentiment may be true, Muhammad had a problem with Christ. He did not worship Him as God. He did not bow his knee to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And how many amongst us today do the same and only give lip service to Jesus Christ? Do we want to do what we will with Christ? Or do we seek that Christ will do what He wills with us? Do we seek our own way in the world, pleasing our flesh and trying to secure our position, much like Herod the Great? Or do we go like the Magi and honor the King? And contrary to popular understanding, the Magi did not show up on the birth of Christ. Probably about 2 years after He was born. For when Herod learned that the Magi had tricked him, for they were warned of God in a dream not to return to Herod, when Herod found this out, he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem and the surrounding area, and he killed all the young children 2 years old and under. Because though he had said that he wanted to go worship Christ, he wanted to eradicate Christ from this world. For Herod was to be superseded in both authority and place by this little child. Herod, who wanted to hold on to his authority with everything that he had, the harder he squeezed, like jello, it slipped between his fingers. And the legend has it that he died a miserable death, being eaten by worms. Insane, depraved, and in misery. And though the Magi slipped from history and we don't know what happened to them, they had met the ruler of the universe. And we have a third group of people here today that is presented to us in the Bible. We have the shepherds who were downtrodden, the what may be called the dregs of society. They were not highly looked upon by the upper crust of society. And they were out doing their duty and their work at night, taking care of the flock. And this flock would have been the lambs and the sheep that would have grown to be the sacrifices used at Passover. And we have shepherds caring for the sacrifice, visited by angels. And these shepherds went to see the sacrifice. The pastor, the shepherd who would care for their souls. And the angels told them, how many here know, and you are a very intelligent group of people, know that angels are not these little precious moments, chubby cherubs with cute little wings. When you read of angels appearing to humanity in the scriptures, humanity falls in fear before them. And these shepherds out in the middle of the night, suddenly there's a great light and you hear a chorus of angels proclaiming the glories of God, proclaiming the birth of the Savior. And they say, peace, do not be afraid, for born to you this day in the city of David is a child. And he will be the Savior of his people. And the angels tell these shepherds, he said, go to Bethlehem, and this will be the sign for you, that you will find a child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This child is the child that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, that was witnessed to by the wise men. And these downtrodden dregs of society went and they met the king. And they told of what they had said. And you know, one thing that we often overlook in this passage, it says, they hurried. They didn't delay. Today, when you hear of Christ Jesus the King, don't dawdle. Don't wait around. Hurry to meet Him. Run to Him. And these shepherds went and they found this babe, and all who heard their story were amazed at it. And you notice what else the shepherds did. When they met this little baby, they were not confounded or astounded or even questioning what they had seen. They did not say, I wonder if the angels were truthful. I wonder if God's word is real. They didn't question. They saw this baby who was proclaimed to be their Savior. And what does it say that they did? It says they went back to where they came from. They returned to their work, glorifying and praising God for what they had heard and seen. How often do we sit in church and leave without glorifying God?
How often do we hear this story about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The Son of God humbling Himself, taking the form of a servant and being born in and amongst the animals. Who grew in wisdom and stature among man and before God. Who lived His life in a perfect obedience to the Father. And who laid down His life for His sheep. Romans 5 and 8 says, God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many times do we hear this? Do we read it? Do we sing about it? Does it come across our lives and our ears, and we hear it and we sing it from the radio? Do we hear, oh come, Emmanuel, and then go about our business without glorifying Jesus Christ? The shepherds went back, but they did not go back the same way that they had came. They were changed. They had been in the presence of the Creator of the universe. And that Creator was wrapped in baby clothes. If He had been born today, He would have had a onesie on. Imagine that. The One who spoke the worlds into existence wearing a onesie. And they left glorifying Him. Now we are not the Magi. I would not even claim to be a wise man among you. I am not Herod the Great, and neither are you. And we are not the shepherds who were out in the field that night. But all the Word of God is written for us. And for our edification. And we can have application from it. Which one would we most identify with? Are you the world who gives lip service to Christ, but who wants to rid creation of its Creator? Or are we wise men, not in our own sight? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. Do we have spiritual wisdom, and do we come to the Savior? And those of us who are destitute, cast out from society, doing the menial jobs of life, do we see the King and glorify Him? And do we take word of that meeting with Him back to where we came? Are we going to be a people that glorifies God? Are we going to be a people that praises Him? Because that little baby did not remain a baby. He bled and died on a Roman cross for the forgiveness of our sins. we rightly speak of the love of God being demonstrated in the person of Christ. But we cannot speak of that love without the acknowledgement of the sin that required Christ to come. We cannot and could not and will not ever be able to save ourselves. He bled and died and rose the third day that we may have life, that we may be forgiven. So as we celebrate the birth of Christ, let us not never forget that He died and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins and our justification before our Holy Father. May God grant us repentance, and that we may go and glorify Him. Let us pray.